And we would ask now that the thoughts and the meditations of all our hearts and minds and the words of my mouth might be found acceptable in your sight by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the other lectionary readings set for today was written from a prison cell somewhere in Rome. Paul was writing to his well-loved protégé and trainee missionary, Timothy. And this is an extract from that letter, recorded for us in the second book of Timothy, chapter 2. From Paul, an apostle of Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Going back to my High Point prison days, my Bible study group were fascinated to learn that Paul was often arrested and imprisoned simply for telling and obeying the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Although they were incarcerated behind bars and locks and razor wire, the word of God and the activity of the Holy Spirit was free and unstoppable even in that place. God's word cannot and will not be silent, even if those who represent it are plotted against and attacked. Standing up for the Christian gospel caused Martin Luther King to risk the sniper's bullet. And the German Lutheran pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer continued, like Paul, to write letters from the prison in which he was executed shortly before the end of the Second World War. Terrorism and evil feed on fear, and where people are brave enough to continue speaking and acting for good, God's word is not chained. The 10 lepers who met Jesus might not actually have been physically chained, but they might just as well have been. In those days, people suffering from that dreadful disease were treated as outcasts. They were banished from the rest of their families and friends and forced to live outside the town wall. Wherever a leper went, they were required to have their outer garment torn as a sign of grief, to go bareheaded, and if a man, to cover his beard with his cloak. And passers-by had to be warned of the approach of the sufferer. The leper was required to shout out, "Unclean, unclean." They were dreaded, they were despised, unwelcome, rejected. There was no possibility of having any meaningful encounter or conversation with anyone else, because this would have required the customary greeting of a friendly hug with the other person. So having the disease effectively barred the sufferer from their town, from their family, from their friends, and even joining in worship in the synagogue. If a leper even put their head inside a house, then the whole building would have to be declared unclean, from floor to ceiling. And one rabbi of that time wrote that he would throw stones at any lepers he saw approaching him in order to keep them away. A leper would be declared to have leprosy by the priest, and if they were by some miracle to be cured, or perhaps they hadn't even had the disease in the first place, they could only be declared clean by a priest. And this freedom arrived by various means, and one of them was by observing a ritual of washing and of sacrifice, which could last anything up to a whole week. And only when the official declaration was made could a healed leper ever be restored to family, friends, life, and according to the belief of that time, to God. The reading from Luke tells us how Jesus was travelling through border country between Samaria and Galilee. Out on the margins, he met with the marginalised. 10 lepers, all rejected outcasts, all diseased men with no hope of being free from their terrible affliction and the cruel sentence passed on them because of it and the fear of their passing on the sickness. 10 lepers met with Jesus, travelling a route which many devout Jews wouldn't have dared to walk in case they met with a Samaritan. You remember the shock that Jesus caused when he told the parable of the Good Samaritan. As far as most Jews were concerned then, there was no such thing as a Good Samaritan. But, says Luke, not only were there 10 lepers, but guess what? One of them was a Samaritan. What would Jesus do? The men must have needed a good deal of courage to approach Jesus, but they still kept a respectful distance, and so they had to shout their plea for healing. Jesus, Master, can you see us over here? Have mercy on us. And what did Jesus do? He healed them. He healed all of them. And he didn't perform any high drama charged crowd pulling disease zapping visible ritual for the media. Oh no. He simply looked at them and said with love and compassion, go and show yourselves to the priests. And the men hurried off to do as Jesus said. And even as they made their way to obey his command, every one of them was healed. Each one of those 10 lepers was made whole, healthy, clean again. Each one of them was healed, and yet just one of them turned back and shouted out loud. And surely he was dancing too, to express his joy, his thanksgiving, his praise to God for this miracle. And coming near to Jesus, he threw himself down at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. He was able to see beyond his healed body to the one who'd made him whole again. His actions of delight and gratitude, which mark him out from the other 9, clearly show the depth of his trust and his faith in our Lord Jesus. He recognized the power of healing was one that had come from God. Close your eyes just for a moment and imagine that you are that man. Picture the scene. Jesus reaching down to lift you to your feet. Feel his strong arms wrap joyfully around you. Imagine the joy and the wonder as you look up and see the love and the delight in Jesus' face, the face of God's chosen one. He's made you whole. He has accepted you. Isn't that wonderful? Luke tells us how the news travelled around all who were following Jesus that day. The news of the 1 in 10 who took the time and trouble to turn back, to pause and to thank Jesus. The initial shock of a ragged bunch of outcasts, undesirables, 10 lepers, hailing Jesus, being healed, and then the knowledge that the one who had turned back to thank Jesus and praise God wasn't a devout Jew, but a Samaritan, doubly despised them because of his non-Jewishness. And Jesus made sure that the effect on the crowd wasn't going to be lost. Weren't there 10 of them who were healed, he asked. So where's the other 9? None of them found to return and give praise to God, none except for this foreigner. And then came the punchline. Jesus embraced the Samaritan and said to him, get up, go on your way. Your faith has saved you. Why do you suppose the other 9 didn't show Jesus their gratitude and give him the praise for their healing? We could come up with a list of possible answers, such as perhaps they felt this was God's just reward after their years of suffering. Perhaps they were just too excited and overcome with the thought of being freed from their exile and the imprisonment of their disease. Too excited to think of stopping, unable to think of anything other than getting their leave jail free card from the examining priest. Perhaps they wanted to rush to tell other people what had happened to them, their families, their friends. Surely it couldn't simply be that they had forgotten to say thank you. Whatever the real reason, The nine who didn't come close to Jesus to thank him are the ones who lose out. They are impoverished by their lack of the sheer joy of praising God, by their failure to recognize the one from whom their healing and restoration has come. And they give us an illustration of what having faith isn't. Jesus had looked on each of them with equal love and compassion. He healed each of them instantly. But you can't help feeling, can you, that his joy would have been even greater if they'd all returned to thank him and to praise him. Praise God. Instead, it's left to the rank outsider, a marginalised non-Jewish foreigner, to show us how true faith responds to God's love. And perhaps we too can feel a little of the shockwave that hit at that realisation. Perhaps this story of the faithful, thankful foreigner, the Samaritan, can help us to see that God goes out to seek those beyond the city walls, those on the margins. There are no insiders, no barriers, no limits to discovering a new relationship with God. God's kingdom and God's invitation is open to all. We may not see and shun lepers in our society today, but there are still many who live amongst us outside the walls. The dreadful news coverage of asylum seekers drowning in overcrowded boats, victims of ruthless con men as they try to escape from escalating violence in their own country. That's visible proof, should we need it, that there are still many of our fellow human beings who are rubbished by others. Add to this the more familiar faces of the unemployed, the homeless, the hungry, the prisoner and the addict, and we can see that there are many who remain on the outside in our community. Jesus identified with those on the outside. It was the insiders who criticised and condemned him. And when they crucified him, it was on the outside of the city, amongst the criminals, amongst the rubbish. And that's hard for us to accept. Jesus, God's own son, treated in such a terrible, shameful, brutal way. And yet, as we know, that wasn't the end. Jesus was imprisoned, tortured, killed because of who he was and who he is. Resurrected and fully alive in our lives still today, our Lord Jesus, the Word of God, cannot be chained. And because of his faithfulness, because of his loving sacrifice, we have freedom, promise, and a living hope. Sometimes we can be a bit like those lepers, standing at a distance, expecting to be rejected, not really believing in ourselves, because we think that no one believes in us. Jesus healed all 10 of the lepers. He made their reconciliation with God a reality. He went out to the margins to free them. And he does the same today for you and for me. By his generosity and grace, we are offered not just salvation and wholeness, but freedom from our past traumas, failings and suffering, and new life, eternal life. Our God is indeed worthy of honour, of praise and thanksgiving. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us always to be thankful for all the many things that you have done for us in our lives. When we're tempted to write people off, Lord, unable to see past their faults, when prejudice and preconceptions dictate our attitudes, closing our minds to those around us, remind us that you refuse to write anyone off, determined instead to seek until you find. Dear Lord, open our hearts to the potential of others, the worth that you see in all, lest in rejecting them, we reject you. Amen.